A new man at the helm for the Sailors. We hear from Alexander Rankovic ahead of his debut in the dugout. And it's getting tight at the top as the Stags keep the Swans at bay. Sit tight, it's time for the SPL Podcast. Hi everyone, this is Raushan. No Farah for company this week, but I'm delighted to be in the company of the man affectionately known as the saviour of Singapore football, a man who fights the good fight by the day and dishes out tasty teasers on Twitter by night. He's the one and only Deepan Raj Ganesan. Deepan, how are you doing?
Honestly, I think as far as intros goes, I can't get worse than that. But thank you, Raushan, for having me. I'm always happy to talk about Singapore football.
Yeah, always good to have you on, especially on a tasty episode like this. Now, speaking of tasty, Deepan, it's been a very busy day for you. I'm glad it's only an audio podcast because the video suggests you have had a very tired day. But it's been an exciting day in Singapore football, especially for those of a Sailors persuasion, as the Lion City Sailors have officially unveiled their new head coach, Alexander Rankovic. Now, the former head coach at ADO Den Haag and more recently the assistant manager of FC Utrecht. Now, we will hear from Rankovic very, very shortly. But before that, Deepan, your initial thoughts on the appointment.
Yeah, so I think I've had a few days now to reflect back on the appointment of Rankovic since I had heard wind about it. I think first and foremost, we have got to compare him to the other three head coaches, permanent head coaches that were in place at the Lion City Sailors before him. So your Aurelio Vidmar, your Kim Do-hoon, and your Risto Vidakovic. And I think the main difference here between Rankovic and his predecessors is the fact that he comes with a lot of experience in Europe. And if you actually think about it, in some sense, it's almost like you can say that it's their best appointment so far. And why I would say this is because you look at the experience that the other coaches brought, it was mainly in Asia. So, of course, even your Kim Do-hoon, he had tremendous amounts of experience in the Asian Champions League. But you look at the environment that Rankovic has coached in, you have to say it's the top-tier quality, right? It's the Eredivisie, one of the best leagues in Europe, of course. Yeah, people might say it's an assistant role, but you're talking about a guy who has spent, you know, most of his coaching career so far in that high-level environment. He knows how he can deal with players of quality. He knows how best to get the players' quality to the highest. Has coached, you know, at the youth level, has coached at the senior level. So I'm really excited by this appointment. I think it's a good get for the Lion City Sailors. Let's see how he does, you know, with the local players. Because, you know, you can appoint, we always hear this in the local circles, right? Like, oh, you can appoint Jose Mourinho and, you know, it will still never do wonders because of the quality of local players. I actually come from a school of thought where I think with proper coaching, proper guidance, I think you can always bring out the best in your local players. I mean, just look at Balestier Khalsa and Peter Deroux, for example.
Yeah, that's an excellent example, the Peter Deroux example. And Rankovic, of course, is the fourth manager for the Sailors in their fourth year of existence. And just last week, we had some fans questioning the decision makers over at Lion City Sailors, namely technical director Luka Lalic. But he's been key to bringing 44-year-old Rankovic on board to try and steady the ship. Here's what Rankovic had to say about his appointment.
Like I said, Luka was the number one person that told me about the club. And that's the guy I really trust, and I trust his football vision. And when I say football vision, is like how the club should be organized, and about the facilities and the academy and structure of the first team. And when I saw those things, of course, first I saw that everything when I came here, but when I saw those things through the live stream and like online and those things, that it was like I was really, really impressed how things are here organized. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you honestly, a lot of Dutch professional clubs can envy this kind of organization. For me, I always say I'm a Dutch coach. I am a Serbian from origin, but I'm a Dutch coach. So I love to have dominant style of playing. I love to keep the ball a lot. I love to attack a lot. That's why I had other people in the staff that maybe is going to make that a little bit more in balance. So we have to think about the defense also. But the way I want to play with Lion City Sailors, it's have to be recognizable. That like when we step on the pitch, that everybody knows, okay, well, this is the way that the Lion City Sailors are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be perfect all the time. I'm going to tell you immediately because that's not such thing. But our goal is to come there.
Now, Deepan, there you have it. Alexander Rankovic giving us a teaser of what to expect. Why don't you tell us more? You had an in-depth conversation with him. So what can fans expect and what should we expect from the Sailors going forward?
So one thing that I think that came across very clearly is that Rankovic is very assured of himself and what he brings. So he's very clear on the kind of football that he wants the Sailors to play. You know, he, as we heard, you know, he deems himself as more Dutch than Serb because of how long he has spent in Holland as a player and as a coach. So I think he buys into that whole total football philosophy that, you know, Holland have become very famous for. And I think what we can expect from the Sailors under him is attacking football, a kind of football that, you know, we can deem as being a Sailors kind of football. Look, for all these years, where Sailors have been a privatized side, you know, can you actually say that you know how Sailors play like? No, but you can say that for Tampines, right? You can say that, you know, Gavin Lee's Tampines play a kind of a brand of football that you know, to expect every game week. But for the Sailors, we haven't been able to say that. Perhaps maybe with the exception being Kim Do-hoon's organized football, where they were really sturdy in defense, they had a discipline in defense. But besides that, we have not really seen much of that. Maybe for a fair bit under Aurelio Vidma, where they played quite swashbuckling football. But there were also negatives back then. But I think under Rankovic, if he gets his ways right, I think we are about to see a dominant possession kind of football and Sailors being very, very attacking. And as football fans, you know, we all love attacking football. And I'm looking forward to that. And just, Roshan, just one more point I wanted to make is, you know, sometimes we judge football teams and we judge the direction of football teams a bit too quickly. And sometimes I must hold my hand up and say that in my assessments that I could have been wrong on some occasions. So I'm talking, you know, about how we second-guessed Luka Lalić and the Lion City Sailors direction sometimes. And I think you mentioned that in the intro as well, where, you know, when Risto Vidakovic was... when he left Sailors, we were all wondering what's going on, you know, where are the Sailors heading? But in these last few days, you can sort of see why they have made this decision. And I said earlier as well, when you reflected back and you looked at how Sailors were under Vidakovic and there was just no dominant spell in their games, you could see why they did it. And by appointing Rankovic, I think it's something they want to correct. And I'm sure we'll talk about it even more, that, you know, it seems like Sailors are starting to mean business again. At least off the pitch, but it all has to translate where it really matters, which is on the pitch.
Yeah, it has to translate on the pitch. And in a short while, we'll talk about the Sailors' upcoming game against Tanjung Pagar United. But Nipun, I just want to pick up on certain things you said there. First things first, I'm glad you brought along the wide lens to have a look at this conversation. I think that's quite important as far as your opinions are concerned. But you brought up the Luka Lalić issue there. I'm curious to find out, with Heat coming his way and LCS's way prior to this appointment, is this then Luka Lalic's last chance of making things right at the Sailors? Is it Rankovic or bust?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question, because I think sometimes we also got to look at the role of a technical director and what that entails at the club. And I think Luka Lalić with the academy, you have to say they're doing a tremendous job so far. And I say this because I think Lion City Sailors Academy itself gives Singapore football hope that in the future, you know, our youths are all right, basically. That's not something you can say about the Football Association of Singapore system of bringing through youths, right? Because you look at the Sailors and how they are allowing kids to go overseas for training stints. And also, of course, your young Sailors debutants in the Singapore Premier League this season. So a lot to get excited about in terms of youth football. But it's just one part of the technical director role in terms of setting up that, you know, a pipeline of talent coming through. The first team, of course, you know, is a major part of your job. And at the end of the day, you are judged based on the results that, you know, happen. And I think they made a good move to, you know, make a quick decision. Whether or not it works out, we will see. But I think for Luka Lalić, I think where we have to assess is at the end of the season. Whether or not these decisions that have been made in the last few weeks transpire to be a good one for them. And I'm talking not just about the Singapore Premier League, even in the Asian Champions League. Clearly, these moves have been made to ensure that they are competitive. So that's what I mean by sometimes I think we are a bit too quick to judge based on one or two decisions that maybe the club is not heading here or heading there. Maybe I think the end of the season will give us a better picture of where the club is heading. But to just quickly answer your main question about whether or not this is last chance saloon for Luka Lalić. Look, I think whenever you appoint a head coach, there is no surety. You know, like we mentioned earlier as well, even with someone like Kim Do-hoon, where you would think that, like, oh, it's surely success. Yes, relative success in terms of, like, they won the Singapore Premier League finally, you know, under him. But would you say that the football was enjoyable or the football was great? You know, you wouldn't say that. So sometimes there are a lot of these factors that you've got to weigh up. I don't think it's last chance saloon. I do think that whether or not Rankovic does well or not, I think more will be said about how the Sailors play. The style of football, because if, let's say, Rankovic and the Sailors go on to play great football but don't quite catch up with the with Albrecht and don't win the league, would we say that, you know, it was a bad decision? Not quite, right? So I think we have to factor in all this and then give a better understanding of, you know, how the Sailors will assess Luka Lalić's project.
Yeah, completely in agreement with you. And from a SPL casual observer perspective, I must say the excitement is quite real, right? Bringing in someone of Rankovic's pedigree has really got the conversation going, not less in the Telegram channel, but on social media as well. So I believe that's good news. It's time to talk now about the playing squad, and we'll get to your Twitter teasers shortly, of which there have been plenty. But how do you think this current team, the LCS team, will take to Alexander Rankovic, having spoken to him one-on-one? What does he come across as in terms of as a person? How are they going to buy into him? Because we know they were big fans of Risto Vidakovic, so it's going to take a bit of getting used to, no?
Yeah, for sure. I think, and that's a good point that you mentioned, right? I think they all seem to have really liked Vidakovic. I think that came through quite well when they all had their farewell comments or posts on social media. But I think the players at Lion City Sailors will all be eager to start working with Rankovic, especially if the new man comes in and gives them a message that, hey, look, you know, I'm here for the long haul and I'm here to ensure that I bring out the best in you guys. But, you know, the primary aim is to go and win the Singapore Premier League title. You know, let's be, you know, very honest here. We are not talking about the SPL title as being a foregone conclusion, right? Because at the end of the day, the Sailors are not too far behind at all. You know, a couple of games and we could even see them going back to the top. And that's where the motivation is right now. Because at the end of the day, if Rankovic is supposed to come in and try to help them have a better chance at the SPL title, I think he can convince the players like, hey, look, guys, it's we follow my way and I will help you guys to the Singapore Premier League title. That's all you need to tell the players for them to follow in your direction. Of course, you know, different coaches have different methods. Some coaches have a longer period that's needed for players to buy into their methods. But I think that given the fact that this is a attacking football, it's not a defensive kind of football, and you would assume that players will be more eager to buy into that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how long it takes for the Rankovic Sailors to take effect.
Yeah, certainly plenty to look forward to. Speaking of things to look forward to, you've teased us about some potential incomings to go with the new coaching appointment. Please, spill the beans.
Yeah, so I think that the Sailors, what they have done, I think they have taken a step back and realized that, you know, if we are to play in the Asian Champions League, we need a much better squad than we have at the moment. And I think with that in mind, they have gone out and seen, you know, what are the areas they need to improve in. And if you and I were to do that job and we look at the Sailors squad right now, I think it's quite easy to pinpoint the fault lines, I would say, in the squad. So, of course, up front, you know, at the start of the season, you would have said that, you know, they made the best signing possible in terms of buying Kodai Tanaka, your reigning SPL Player of the Year. And, of course, that went you know, unfortunate circumstances and Tanaka's season ended with an injury. But, you know, it's not like sailors get to play in the Champions League every year where they can take a chance on Tanaka's recovery and say, hey, Tanaka lead us to goals in the Asian Champions League, right? So I think they have made a decision there to, of course, replace him with Bernie. NSA has turned out, you know, Bernie hasn't quite adapted to the Singapore Premier League. Watching him, you know, it's a total opposite from what I saw of him in the A-League, for example, where he was someone who you could rely on to get in behind the defense. It's been nothing like that. And then there's questions about his injury, his fitness. So again, the Sailors have had to act. You know, it's very easy for the Sailors to just take a back seat and say, hey, yeah, we signed Bernie to replace Tanaka and we should just trust him. But they know, like I said, you know, you can't play in the Asian Champions League every year. This is a chance they've got to get right. And they've gone out to look for forwards to replace Tanaka and Bernie, basically. And they have found him. I think in the next few days, or perhaps by the time this recording is out, the identity of that forward will be known if they get it over the line on transfer deadline day. So that's one area they have really invested in. In other areas, you could see, you know, clearly in defense, they needed a better defender. Look, I'm not saying that Super is a bad defender. I've actually liked him in the Singapore Premier League. But if an opportunity presents itself to get a defender who has played in the World Cup and has had more than 150 appearances in the Singapore Premier League, you know, you've got to take it. And again, he's an English-speaking player, would gel in almost immediately with the squad. And his experience is going to help the squad as well. And also, I think in midfield, they've also looked at a box-to-box midfielder to try and help them, you know, progress the ball from midfield and also be a ball-winning player. At the end of the day, if you've got the ability to field six foreigners in the Asian Champions League, you've only got to go on and take it. And I think that's what they've done here.
Yeah, certainly plenty to look forward to. And at the time of recording, the transfer window still remains open. But by the time you're listening to this, it would have slammed shut. But in case you're wondering, do pick up the Straits Times and read Deepen's thesis. He's basically saying potential incomings include a former Dutch youth international who has played in the English Premier League, an Australian centre-back who featured at the 2022 World Cup, and a Portuguese central midfielder. Chances are they will be revealed by the time you're listening to this. So let us know in the comments what you make of the Sailors' new signings. Now, we can't spend the whole podcast talking about the Sailors, so we're going to move it on to the review section of the podcast. And only 10 weeks of football left to play this season. It's flown by. And as Deepen alluded to earlier, the title race is very much alive. The Sailors are just a point behind Tampines, who are just 3 points behind the leaders, Albrecht's Niigata. And that, of course, was made possible with what went down at our Tampines Hub on Tuesday night. A 1-1 draw between the Stags and the Swans. What have you made of that clash from start to finish, Deepen? Because it was exciting to watch, no?
Yeah, I thought it was a high-quality game. You know, when you expect Albrecht's and Tampines to take to the field, you don't normally expect like a 5-4 or like a 4-4 kind of game. I think lower the score, the better the reflection of both teams' quality, actually. And actually, if you look at the game in totem, I think Tampines Rovers will be disappointed to come away with just a point, because I thought they were value for the win, especially given the fact that Albrecht's were down to 10 men. They should have taken advantage of it, especially you look at the way they conceded that goal to Albrecht's. Very avoidable goal. I think it's something that, you know, they should have defended better. That is a scenario they should have defended better. But having said that, I think Tampines will be very happy in the fact that in two games against Albrecht's, they've got a win and a draw. At the start of the season, if you gave them that, you know, they would have taken it. And I think it gives them momentum going ahead into the other games to say that, hey, Albrecht's can't beat us. And that should mean that other teams shouldn't be able to beat us as well. So it gives them confidence. But I actually feel, you know, that given the fact that they are so close to the top of the table now, they've really got to give everything in these last remaining games to ensure that they end the season with silverware. Because they've got the players. And for me, I admire many of these local players that Tampines have, because they're all playing really well. You look at Shah Shahiran, in these last few games, he has filled in at centre-back. And he's done a tremendous job. You know, if he was a foreigner and we were saying like, this central midfielder was a foreigner, fielding and centre back played very well. You know, everyone will be singing praises of him, and we should do the same for Shah Shahiran. Brilliant, brilliant footballer. I think he's adding yet more tools to his toolbox. A good game again, but like I said, you know, unfortunate that he didn't keep a clean sheet. Even Irfan Najib has been playing well. Glenn Quay has been playing well. I thought Ong Yu-En was superb as well. So lots to be excited about if you're a Singapore football fan and been watching Tampines. Having said that, I think Albrecht as well. I think once again, you can never count them out, can you? You know, when they were 1-0 down and, you know, had Hassan sent off, I thought, this is it. You know, Tampines have got a great win in for them. But then, you know, then came Albrecht. At times, you think that they didn't even have one man down. And that goes down to the tenacity and hard work that they put in every game. And you just can't count Albrecht out. So this title race is going down to the wire, and you can't count Sailors out as well. So this three-horse race is a must watch till the season ends. You know, Turf City is closing down and there won't be horse races there anymore, but there is one really good horse race in the Singapore Premier League now.
Yeah, completely in agreement with you. We've been crying out for a title race and here we are being served up a three-way race that's got 10 weeks left to play. It's all to play for, right? It's quite exciting. Deepan, I want to move on to the preview, but before that, I don't usually zoom in on incidences of a game, but I want to zoom in on that Hassan Sani incident because it's unlike Superman himself to have a rush of blood. What went on there? Because when I saw it in real time and then the subsequent replays, it could have cost this team much more, no?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, when I was watching the game live, I actually didn't think that it was a red card because I thought that Albrecht had two covering defenders. But when blessed with replays, you could see that it was a denial of a goal-scoring opportunity. And I agree with the red card, actually. But I think what Hassan was thinking there was that I thought he must have felt that he could have gotten to the ball earlier than Boris. Not quite sure with the way he came out flying, the way he did reminded me of Edge and Goldberg in the WWE. But I think now what remains is how is that going to affect Albrecht in the next few games? Because it's not when you get a red card, it's not just about that game, right? It's about your subsequent matches. And of course, I think that Albrecht now got to realize that, you know, the defenders sometimes, I think, got to step up because I know you've got a veteran keeper at the back and you trust him to make the decisions. But I thought the defenders there should have called out earlier to maybe not ask Hassan to come out because I thought the covering defenders there had it covered. But, you know, at the end of the day, Hassan has to pay for his mistake. So let's see how Albrecht cope without him in the next few matches.
Yeah, that could be another potential twist in that title race we spoke of, right? Let's move on to the preview. And we've got four games to look ahead to this weekend. Doubleheader on Saturday as well as on Sunday. On Saturday, Tanjung Pagar United take on Lion City Sailors as well as the Young Lions take on Albrecht. First things first, Jaguars up against the Sailors. We've spoken at length about Rankovic and his new appointment. Are we going to see glimpses of it this weekend? And do Tanjung Pagar stand a chance at all?
Yeah, so interestingly, when I spoke to Brankovic about this particular game, he actually mentioned that he watched the Sailors' last game in the Singapore Premier League and he was actually happy with the defending. He was happy with the clean sheet and he felt that the Sailors showed organisation. So he wants that to continue, but he wants to add a few pieces. At the end of the day, I mean, it's only going to be, what, 2-3 training sessions under Rankovic before Sailors play against Tanjung Pagar. But I think the identity will be there straight away, I feel, in terms of giving them the confidence and the impetus to go there and attack Tanjung Pagar. And we have seen before, you know, in the games between Sailors and Tanjung Pagar, we always see goals. I remember in 2022, we saw like a 7-0, we saw a 6-0, we saw a 6-1. So I'm not quite sure that Tanjung Pagar would be loving to play the Sailors this weekend. I can see this being a very comprehensive victory for the Sailors.
Yeah, I think a lot of excitement, and you talk about just having a few training sessions. But I personally am quite excited to see where Abdul Razak goes from here, because we talk about this Dutch philosophy of developing young players, and Razak has done really well in the opportunities he's got this year. So hopefully he pushes on to greater heights, especially with potential competition coming in, right? Yeah, I predict the Sailors will easily trounce Tanjung Pagar in this one, who are having a season to forget. But happening at the same time, though, over at Jalan Besar Stadium that Saturday, 6 p.m., is the Young Lions against Albirex Niigata. Now, knowing King Kazoo, despite nicking the draw against Tampines, he's not going to be too pleased this year. Do you really feel already sorry for the Young Lions coming into this one?
Yeah, you know, it's quite funny. It's something I thought of almost immediately after that game against Tampines, where, you know, you would think that, whoa, who are Albirex playing next? Because they're probably going to kena from Albirex. And then I went to see the fixtures and I'm like, oh my God, it's the Young Lions. Look, it's really hard sometimes to look forward to Young Lions matches, because you must be quite sadistic if you're looking forward to watching the Young Lions play these days, because they've had too many changes, Raushan. I think enforced changes. You look at the bench these days and you're wondering, wow, like if someone gets injured, you know, are these players on the bench ready to step in? You've had a few players missing, a few players have transferred out. They need reinforcements. I think earlier in the season, there was talk about like senior locals joining the Young Lions. I think that should have been done. I think the likes of your Kobayashis haven't really, maybe yes, I think they've provided quality in some areas, but it's not enough, you know, when you look at the rest of the locals and how they are struggling. I'm not saying that this is going to be a cricket score, but, you know, it's going to be a painful match for the Young Lions.
Now, I personally feel, if you're of the betting variety, I've only got three words for you, and they go AOS for this one, because I do think Albirex are going to put up quite a show, especially because LCS have dominated the headlines going into the week. I think Albirex will want to show that they are the defending champions, they are the league leaders, and they are here not to hand over the mantle or anything. So it's going to be an exciting Saturday, and if anything goes by what Deepan has had to say, it's going to be raining goals. So lots to look forward to. Let's move on to Sunday's game. There are two games happening as well. One is Hougang United against Balstier Khalsa. That's happening at 6 p.m. at the Jalan Besar Stadium. Before we talk about the Tigers and the Cheetahs, I'd like to focus on the Eastern Derby happening at our Tampines Hub. Geylang International against Tampines Rovers. Now let's focus on Geylang for this one's, because we already know the issues Noah Lee has in regards to his really thin squad, and he's made it very known in his pre- and post-match interviews. Going through the week, they've announced two new additions, Rudy Khairullah and Arshad Shamim, both on loan from the Sailors. What do we make of that move? Just warm bodies, or are they going to add quality to this team?
Yeah, so first of all, for Rudy, I think he has been around in the league for some time. You know, it makes no sense for Rudy to just sit at Sailors and not have game time. So I think it's a good move for him. It's a good move for Geylang as well. Even though I actually feel that Hafiz has done quite brilliantly in goal for Geylang. You know, I've actually liked him. But I think this adds a good competition for him. And I'm looking forward to seeing whether, you know, he gets enough game time at Geylang. On the other hand, Arshad Shamim, actually, when he was playing with Young Lions, I actually liked him. You know, he's a speedy guy. I think he can play on the wing. He can fill in at fullback as well. I like the tenacity that he shows. I think it's a good option for Geylang to have as well, because you know, fullback is a very important area for any team right now in modern football. And his versatility, you know, comes in handy for Geylang. And I think he's got the right coach in Noah Ali to mold him and give him the impetus to go on and prove himself, to show that he does belong on a stage like the Singapore Premier League.
Yeah, Noah Ali has been crucial to many players' career, right, in terms of reviving it and giving it new life. So hopefully Arshad Shamim walks that path as well. As well as Rudy Khairullah, we'll look forward to see if they make the team sheet at this weekend. Going to a Tampines perspective, though, they're very much in the title race. Yes, they probably might be slightly disappointed with that 1-1 draw against 10-man Albirex. But against Geylang International, against their neighbours, do you think they can get all 3 points to remain alive and keep up the good work in terms of keeping Albirex and the Lion City Sailors honest?
Yeah, so I do think that, you know, they'll be motivated for this one, not just because it's a derby, but I think it's a good opportunity for them to continue the momentum. Yes, I know we talked about their result against Albrecht being almost in a negative sense. But like I said, you know, you take a step back and you reflect, I think they'll be very happy with the fact that they've got 4 points from two matches against Albrecht. You know, one particular area that I think they can get better at is up front in terms of the goals that they are scoring, or not enough goals that they're scoring. I know Boris has got 12 goals in the league already this season, but most of them have come from the spot. And I just feel like, you know, most defenders have sort of figured out, you know, how to defend against him. And then that's when, you know, you need the players around him to step up, right? Because clearly if people are concentrating and focusing on Boris, that, you know, logically opens up spaces for the other attackers. And sometimes my problem with Tampines is that I think they play around too much, you know, almost, instead of being a bit more direct. Because I think in a few occasions against Albrecht, we saw that when the ball was played towards Boris and he took just one touch and he laid it off, there were many, you know, scoring opportunities. I think one in particular fell to Yasir Hanapi, but he took another touch before he tried to shoot. But those are the areas where, you know, I think they can capitalize on, where, you know, they send the ball into Boris. Boris takes a touch and lays it off or cushions it for someone else, and someone just comes on in and whacks the ball. That's where, you know, they've got to be a bit more, you know, they've got to convert those chances into goals. And then I think we will start to see more wins for them.
Yeah, the Boris chatter certainly is picking up a lot of traction on social media in terms of his output, right? You take it there, 12 goals, but most of it from the set piece. So if you're listening in and you have an explanation as to why Boris is struggling for goals, let us know in the comments or the Telegram chat. We're always up for a conversation on Singapore football. One final game to look forward to, but not before I put Deepen under the spot. It is an Eastern derby at our Tampines Hub. I'll need a score prediction before I move on to the final game.
Well, I think it'll be a good game. I'm expecting goals in this one, primarily because it's Eastern derby. I think sometimes, you know, emotions come to the fore. You forget a bit about structure. So I'm going for a 3-2 Tampines win.
All right. Plenty to look forward to. That, of course, is the featured game this weekend by the FAS and the Singapore Premier League. So look forward to that. One other game to look forward to this weekend. And this one's exciting because we're going to talk about two teams who've conceded a total of 80 goals in a combined 30 games. And that's Hougang United and Balestier Khalsa. They face off at Jalan Besar Stadium at 6 p.m. on Sunday. Hougang won their opening day fixture against Balestier 3-2. Obviously, a very different Hougang now compared to the one that took the opening day fixture. What do you make of this fixture? Two, I would dare say, informed teams going into this one?
Yeah, so I think with Hougang, I think they have been slightly unfortunate in the last few games, in the sense where I think against Lion City Sailors, you could sort of understand why Hougang played the way that they did. I think they tried to, you know, sit back and absorb. And if they had gone into halftime, you know, with a 0-0 scoreline, maybe they could have, you know, got a point at the end. But they conceded just before halftime, and then after that, it was a bit difficult for them. And also, I think I mentioned this on social media. I think without Zulfami, they lack a bit of control in midfield. Primarily also because they have a lack of alternatives there. I think Amir Zailani and Krychek filled in central midfield along with RJ there. But they are not, you know, your Zulfami's in terms of how they play. I think Krychek is always better further up the field. I think that's where he does most of the damage. You can't expect him to sit in midfield and control from there. So I think as long as Zulfami is out, it's going to be a bit tough for them to gain that control. On the other hand, when you speak about control, that's something that Balestier have had more of this season. And that's because they finally have a number six there with them in terms of Koza. So I think this is where the game will be decided, in midfield, and which team, you know, has a better control of things there. Balestier, you know, we saw Jordan Imaviwe on the bench for them in the last game. You know, is he going to play a starring role? I've heard that, you know, he prefers to play up front than in defense. Although, you know, I'm a bit skeptical of that, because if I were an advisor to Jordan, I would tell him, you know, play at centre back, because you look at the profile that he has, and he's a left-footed centre back. First of all, that's a rarity in football these days. And having said that, it's also a common theme that in world football, in global football, a lot of coaches now like to use a right-sided centre back and a left-sided centre back, right? So one with right foot, one with a left foot. And I think that makes him a very attractive get for other clubs. And not only that, imagine you are his agent and you are you know, pitching him to other clubs. You can even tell them that, hey, look, I've got a very good defender who can even become an option up front for you in the last 10 minutes and 15 minutes of the game because he's got the profile. And that really makes him a very good purchase for any clubs, even in the region. So that's why I'm a bit skeptical of why he wants to play up front. But look, you can't punish him for his desire, right? So I do hope he is given the chance up front, because, you know, the prospect of seeing him and Jumbo up front with Daniel Goh and Sugita and Taniguchi supplying the front line is quite a tantalizing prospect. Let's see if we get to see that in this game.
Actually, when you mentioned the rest of the Ballester front line, you can see why Jordan wants to play up front with service potentially like that. But on the flip side, you look at potentially if he played at centre-back to play alongside Madu, it seems like he would walk into that team considering who he's fighting for, the other centre-back berth. All in all, plenty to look forward to. And Deepan, you did well to sell Jordan's career there slightly. So, journalist by day, agent by night, perhaps. Deepan Raj Ganesan, it's been excellent canvassing your thoughts on all things Singapore football. Once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Raushan. Pleasure as always.
And listeners, if you enjoyed the podcast, you know what to do. Find us on Instagram, find us on Facebook, like, share, subscribe, and keep the conversation going on our Telegram channel. We do this for the fans, by the fans. We hope you enjoyed this one. We'll see you on the next episode.